It's Friday on the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show. Let's get him in here right now. Not John, but... We tried a new walk-on song yesterday and failed miserably because Kyle Fox, a.k.a. Jake Skorheim, idolized Michael J. Fox as a kid. So I figured he would obviously know the theme song to Family Ties.
No, I did not know it. I didn't know it.
He didn't know it. So we're back.
We should have played Spin City. You guys remember Spin City? Let's just keep these references going. It's your day.
So the other day, I was listening to the radio, I think it was yesterday in the morning, and it was one of these wacky morning shows.
Yeah.
And they were talking about...
was it Seattle's
everybody.
Morning News?
No. It was much wackier than that. It was a male and a female, and they were saying, you know, hey, everybody, it's National Salad Day. And and the other one's like, oh, that's good. Yeah, National Salad Day. It's delicious and it's healthy. You don't get that much in food. Blah, 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 blah. And I turned off the radio. I thought, thank God we don't do stuff like that.
Well, was it National Salad Day yesterday?
I guess you can ask their producer.
That's
but,
my
yeah.
bad for missing that. Sorry, guys.
Or could
have been so fun.
But this one is at least more interesting than that. Joe Mama has come up with a day today that everybody could probably get into if they were brave enough. National No Pants Day.
That's today. Yeah, May 3rd. It's the first Friday in May? First Friday every May. People mm-hmm. are supposed to wear no pants.
He better put his big boy pants on.
Or not. In the 1980s, they started this club at some college, and it was called the Knighthood of Buh. And they would go around, I guess, with no pants on, and then another group, a wacky comedy group called Everywhere Improv, started the No Pants on Subway.
Oh, yeah, day. The No Pants Subway ride. That's big now.
Yeah, that one's taken off, unfortunately. There's videos and pictures every year of people on the subway with no pants. They do it almost every day in New York, though.
That's fair, yeah.
That's not just a one-day-a-year thing.
Closer to those underpants.
You know what? The thing about the subway one that seemed, I mean, they're all, I guess, no pants everywhere when you're not in your house. It's kind of creepy. And the one in New York, especially, because what they describe for the No Pants Day in New York, they say that similar to No Pants Day, the No Pants subway ride started in 2002. Sherry, you were just mentioning by Improv Everywhere. Man, don't you love those improv groups?
They're hilarious. Always.
They're always so funny. They're always the best. A comedy organization. The group of seven originally rode the subway wearing oversized coats and undergarments. That's illegal, right? Isn't that just like flashing people? When you just like wear, isn't that the traditional, when you think of flasher, it's an overcoat and then somebody opens up and they've got nothing? Isn't that what a flasher?
They've got nothing. But don't they have underpants on?
Well, yeah.
I think the no pants.
Scary.
Yeah, it is. But yes, I think to avoid breaking the law, even on No Pants Day, most people wear underpants.
So you can just walk around in underwear and nobody's going to stop you? I mean, in Seattle, we have, you know, that's pretty common. We see that all the time.
Well, you can be nude in Seattle. There's no nudity law here. But most people continue to still wear clothes.
Yeah. Well, most people frown upon it because it's gross.
It kind of is. The only thing I really got out of this was guess what they were called before jeans?
Pants?
What were jeans called before they were jeans?
Do you want me to take a fake guess or you want me to really guess? Because I actually have a real guess and I don't know if it's right. Is it pantaloons?
No.
It's not pantaloons?
Weird. No, it's a weird one. Waist overalls.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is weird.
So does that mean like denim overalls existed prior to just denim jeans?
What's a knickerbocker then? What is it?
We're really going way too deep on this. I'm sorry. But I don't know. I don't know.
You've heard of knickerbockers, right? Those are like pants that go down to the knee. And then you...
Knickers.
I think they're
knickerbockers.
I think they're knickerbockers.
Oh, well, no. It says here that a knickerbocker is a descendant of the original Dutch settlers of New York.
Oh, I'm
hence
way off.
The New York Knicks. Yeah.
Can we get on to another naked story?
Do we have anything else about naked that we can cover?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe. Let's go back
to
salads.
Yes.
Can we get back to salads?
They're healthy and they're delicious.
Yum.
Wow. Seattle, is in the top 20. They rank number 12 as the best city in the country for naked gardening. It seems like we talk about this a bit. I'm not sure if it's just once a year or whatever it is, but I guess naked gardening is a thing in Seattle. This was based on nude gardener friendliness, local interest, I guess the safety, and the weather.
And so people just garden in the nude. They ranked a ton of them. They had like, what, the 500? We compare the five.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a more tedious job than the person putting together the 500 friendliest nude gardening cities?
I know.
There's a website for everything on the internet. Number one is Miami. You don't care about the rest. Number 12 is Seattle. And have you ever thought about, I mean, do you garden, Sherry? Do you garden much? I'm not going to ask if you garden nudes. It's rude, but do you garden much?
If I did, it would be out in, I live in this kind of.
You live in the city.
So you don't have a yard, really. I mean, you have a little front yard.
I assume you have like some sort of a rooftop garden or something, right? Don't you grow any nothing?
We have a little little front yard, and we have all kinds of flowers, and then we have two urns where we've got flowers, and then we have a deck.
Oh, okay.
So we can put stuff out there. But none of it would be nude friendly.
Okay.
None of it.
Yeah. I do a fair amount of gardening. I plant a lot of trees. I do a lot of that kind of stuff, but I don't. None of it's in the nude. If anyone's interested, I could.
If I had a completely private garden, you know, no neighbors could see in, and like I could see that being kind of nice.
What's the benefit? I don't understand the benefit of nude gardening. It feels like a fetish to me. It feels like a sicko, like a weird person who wants. Oh. It feels like somebody wants to be seen. Otherwise, I don't know why you would be naked.
Well,
it's not comfortable.
Really,
I mean.
Well, and it's dirty.
And it's dirty, and you're bending over, and you're in the dirt, and it's just gross.
Anything could happen.
Yeah, no, it's just like it's disgusting. I don't know why anybody would do this. Okay. Do we have any more nude stories?
We do.
Yeah, believe it or not, and you'll love this. Maybe you don't want to do nude gardening, Jake, but what about taking your favorite thing in the world? A nude cruise.
Oh, my goodness. See, I think we have some audio of this, right, Joe? CBS was talking about this?
Yes.
This is called The Big Nude Boat. CBS covered this for some reason on the morning show. Yeah. Oh, my audio there. Let's see if we can get that on. There we go. All right. Back to the nude boat.
A first-of-its-kind nude cruise, previously only available leaving from Tampa, now leaving Port of Miami. This is February of next year. It'll be hundreds of people. There'll be no clothes on them. Why do I love this?
I'm going to pause it there really fast. Do you guys ever notice when anybody talks about nudity, everyone just laughs? They just start laughing. Like, this guy's just laughing like a dum-dum. Like, why is it funny?
It's not.
It's not funny.
But he's not funny.
But he's, you're right. He's also not funny.
I was wondering that, Tony DiCoppo. Why do you love this?
Well, you know, it takes one of the common complaints about cruises and removes it as a problem. Clothes.
What are you going to pack? What are you going to wear?
Are you going?
I've never heard that complaint. I go on a lot of cruises. Nobody ever talks about what they're going to pack and what they're going to wear. It's always the food. You're excited about the food. I love cruising. We talked about this yesterday.
Mm-hmm. The food?
The food on a cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah, just it's abundant. It's available at all times.
Yeah, I've been on a cruise. I didn't find the food particularly exceptional.
Did you know they store the dead people in the same refrigerator as what, the bananas? Is that right, Sherry?
Yeah, six people died. Yeah, that's right here. Six people.
Yes, they have their own little morgue.
Morgue/ refrigerator.
Yeah, that's like a rule. He's just like, if you do a lot of cruising, don't eat the bananas. Everybody knows that. Okay. So, all right, we have more on this.
All right, so I don't get that you fit the profile of a nudist. So this would not be something that would be appealing to you.
No, this would not be appealing to me. And I was trying yesterday to warm you up to the idea of liking cruises. I was unaware that you had been on a number of them and just had a bad experience. But I don't think nude cruises help sell that idea at all. In fact, the problem is, it's not like when you think of a nude cruise, everybody always like, I don't know where your mind goes, but like my mind, whenever I think of like nudity and stuff, my mind goes, oh, these are like fit people. That's not the case anytime.
It's like the nude beach
thing. Yeah, which is why Seattle has a lot of nudists. Like nobody in Seattle should be naked at any time in public, and yet they seem to like to do that, and it doesn't make sense. I don't know why they do it. All right, we have a few more seconds here.
I've been joking that the packing would be easier, but now I come to think of it, it's not really a joke. I like the idea of going on a vacation without packing anything, but I do have questions like, where do you put your phone? Where do you put your room key?
Tony, do you want to, my question is, do you want to go on this?
I would love to go on this. Katie will never go on this, but I mean, I did do some research here. Apparently, you walk around with a clean towel, so when you sit your bare bottom down, you're not on the deck. You're
that makes sense.
So that's a little bit of etiquette for you.
Yeah.
And you can wear a fanny pack or a bag, so you can carry
your
stuff.
Well, that's where you put your keys.
But what's interesting is you can't wear lingerie or any kind of fetishy things because they want to keep it natural. It's not something. So maybe we have some laughter over there. Some interested parties.
Yeah, I don't think we were going to take a nude cruise anytime soon.
Not after that.
You're lost.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how they could make it worse, but they just did.
Yeah, they did.
The Woodland Park Zoo has come out with a little bit of a statement, and I say little, about the poor thing that happened to the little ducks when the big brown bear of Juniper decided that he was going to eat the ducklings.
Do we have audio of that for anybody who hasn't heard it?
Of the bear? Yeah, give me one.
I think.
Oh. Do we want to hear this?
Well, it's funny. Yes, I think we want to hear it. I think most people want to hear it.
It's funny that the big bear ate the ducklings?
No, it's, well, that's nature. That's what I would say. That's nature. But what I found funny is the idea that you have all these, like, you know.
Yeah, it was a birthday party.
Like, yeah, little kids. Just like the situation could not have been a worse situation for those kids. It could have happened any time during the day before the park opened, but it was like right when there was little kids watching through the glass. Do we have it, Joe? All right. This is a 2-year-old grizzly bear, I believe. Her name is Juniper. She comes from Alaska. She was rescued, and now she calls Seattle home. And she happened upon a mother, a duck, and her ducklings. And we have it. And it's coming.
Oh, there's the mother and the 5 ducklings. Here comes the bear. Bear's in the water.
There you go.
And he found one.
Oh no!
And he's eating.
Oh no!
And it goes on from there.
Juniper.
One of 5.
Wow.
Were you disturbed by that video, Sherry?
I wouldn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No, I don't want to watch this poor little ducklings.
Yeah, no, it's very sad. It was it's tragic to watch. Yeah.
Of course, they're saying the kids weren't traumatized. They didn't exactly sound traumatized, but they did seem affected by it. But what the zoo said was, you know, it's in an area where it does attract wildlife, and it's the circle of life.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and they say the ducks have the opportunity to, you know, they can land the waterfowl. Mm-hmm. They said they can nest wherever they like. And this, you know, duck unfortunately chose to nest in a predator's cage. And so, we hear the bear eating. The sad thing for the ducks, it's obviously sad for the ducks because they got eaten and they're dead. But for the kids who are standing in front of the window, there's a good deal of time where you're just like kind of mesmerized. Like, I don't know if the last time you were near a mama duck and her baby ducks, but it's very cute. And then to watch like young kids watching that is adorable. So everybody's just there being adorable. And the kids, because it's glass and on the other side of the glass is the bear's swimming area, which is where the ducks are. You can see the little duck feet like paddling just beneath the surface. And they're just like,
and they're so cute.
Oh my gosh, they're so cute. And they're just, you know, they have all the hope for the future and the world. And then in the background, they don't even see the shadow. Juniper just stalking, getting closer. And they're like 2 minutes away from being just plopped down, just totally eaten in front of these kids. And it's you shouldn't watch it, Sherry, if you're sad about those things.
Traumatized by a duck because
what?
Yeah, I was.
Sounds interesting.
I'd gone to pick up my mom, and in her neighborhood, I guess there's some woods and things like that. And we were driving down, and a duck was trying to cross the street. And my mom, stop, stop. And she gets out of the car, and she's trying to coax it over. And I was like, Mom, come on. The duck knows what it's doing, okay? It's not that – there's not that much traffic. It's fine. Come on. We got to go. And she's like, no. So we get in the car, and no sooner do we start to go, a car comes speeding over and decapitates the duck.
Really? Decapitates it?
It is so awful that I said a prayer. And I said, God, I am so sorry. I didn't do anything to save that duck's life.
That duck's life is in your hands.
I will. Any other animal that I see, it is mine. I'm going to take care of it. The next weekend, we were visiting my parents again. And we, same area, see a stray dog, a little beagle. And my husband, ex-husband, was, I said, oh my gosh. And he said, he probably knows his way home because it's kind of a wooded area. You know, he knows his way home.
No, I know how this ends.
I made a promise to God. I'm going to save this little dog. And so we got the dog and we lived in a condo that wouldn't allow pets. And so,
then Christy gnomed him.
Oh, don't even get started on that horrible human being. So I said, I don't know what we're going to do. We couldn't find anybody to take him and everything. So I remember I was sitting there holding him after a couple of days. We were driving in the car.
Oh, Beagle's so cute too.
I know. And my husband just said, fine, we'll move.
What?
Thank you. Yeah.
He actually moved. You moved for a dog?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good for you, Sharon.
That's sweet. That guy's a keeper.
Wait a minute, that was your ex-husband. Decapitated duck.
Was that your ex-husband, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's still nice to animals. That's nice.
Yeah, I guess.
So did you have that dog for a long time?
15 years.
Really? What a sweet story.
Fred the dog.
Did you feel like, I'm not saying that you killed the duck. I'm not saying that that's your fault, but it was... like 50% your fault. But did you feel like you had made up for it after taking care of this dog for so many years?
I also, Fred's middle name was Duck.
That's very sweet. That is really nice. That's really nice that God sent you a little animal.
Yeah. So I took care of Fred for 15 years.
Oh, good for you.
I guess I had some redemption.
Very nice. Good for you.
That's my duck story. I'm sorry we didn't get to what I really wanted to talk about, which is Jake Skorheim is actually upset about something.
What?
He's angry about something.
Not me. I'm upbeat.
Yeah. We got to talk about that a little bit later, okay?
All right.
There we go. It's the John Curley and Sherry Elicker show. Jake Skorheim is kind enough to sit in for John today. Yesterday, we got a ton of people trying to get in the game with the zebra fever, and they all texted in names and things like that. We never really came up with the one we thought was the best, but we would love to hear from you. We go to the Muckleshoot Resort text line 1-888-973-5476, or you can go to mynorthwest.com. Are you tired of this yet, Jake?
This zebra story?
Yeah.
No, it's my favorite story of the day. I love it.
Me too.
I can't get enough of it yet.
I really am so into it.
I have a disturbing update for you, though, if you'd like to hear it. Can I tell it to you?
How disturbing?
Well, it's not duck in the road disturbing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good.
No,
good.
But it is.
I'd like another dog, but
this is confusing. Listen to this. So King County Animal Control apparently are not actively searching for the missing zebra. They have said that the announcement came in an email from the Regional Animal Services of King County, which said that its officials have remained in contact with the owner in Montana. The owner was reportedly hauling four zebras, yada, yada, yada. We know how he lost them. But they were emailing back and forth about how they're continuing to search for the zebra. And they say, well, presently they're not actively searching for the zebra, apparently. And you could people can read about this on My Northwest. We have the statement from them. That's confusing to me, though. I wonder why they're not searching for it. Do they think it's dead?
No, I don't think so. I think they just don't have the resources to go zebra hunting every day.
Well, what else are they doing?
There's also a lot of people out there looking. In fact, they closed the trail because they've asked people to please stay away, because if people continue to chase this thing, or it's going to scare it off and they'll never catch it.
That's true.
So they're asking people to just back off a little bit in terms of their... you know, making this a tourist attraction.
I'm really surprised. I am actually, because this is what? This is day five of Zebra Gate?
Zebra Watch?
Zebra Watch, whatever we're calling it.
Zebra Fever.
Zebra Fever. Yes. Sorry. Zebra Fever 2024.
Yeah, right.
Until Zebra Fever 2025.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that this has gone 5 days. I did not think that zebras was going to elude capture for that long. That's a long time. to be out in the wild.
It is, especially if they, if what they're eating isn't natural to them. I mean, if they don't really eat sticks, or what do people eat?
I don't think zebras are eating sticks.
Well, I don't know. What do they eat?
What does a horse eat? Like grass and oats?
Yeah, like
a carrot. Like a zebra probably, I bet you a zebra would love
apple.
A carrot.
Yeah.
Apple. Anything.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, they don't have like or apples just growing.
Yeah, they do actually. You're on.
No, I mean, where
we actually have a lot of those up here in Washington.
They actually grow on trees.
We have apple trees
actually,
everywhere,
but not in the area that she is.
I'm there. Sure they do actually. Yeah, I've I
oh they do.
Yes, yeah, they have apples everywhere.
Yeah,
we're like
the
apple
time.
State. I don't know if you knew that, Sherry, but we're pretty famous for our apples here.
No,
in Washington
I didn't
State.
Touch your apple. I know that. I just didn't think it just sounded like where he was, where she
I think
was.
Sherry, I think you're right. I don't think apples are growing natively up in North Bend. I mean, he's pretty close. She's pretty close to the apple growing community of like Wenatchee in Eastern Washington, but she's got a ways to go. I don't know if there's plenty of grass. I'm sure she can eat grass.
Yeah,
she's
a horse type creature.
I'm not worried about her starving necessarily, and I'm sure people are leaving like plates full of gifts out there.
They're
for
probably feeding her stuff that they shouldn't be feeding her. Is my guess. Yeah, I think you're right. And do you think they're going to catch her though? I mean, if the animal control is no longer looking for her,
I hope not.
And you have all these people out there searching. Eventually, somebody's going to find her and put a lasso around that. Zebra.
It's possible. I like the fact that the people of North Bend are really getting into this.
Yeah.
They're doing all kinds of stuff. There's a restaurant called Rio Bravo. They have a zebra special, which is carne asada smothered with sauce and cheese, and then it's topped with sour cream. So it sort of looks like the black and white stripes.
Nice. I love carne asada too. That's nice.
I do too. I had for dinner.
When I saw the story originally, I was thinking they're not serving. They would never serve zebra, right? Like they wouldn't find a local zebra.
Yeah, that would be very sensitive to do that. So,
that's
we're
what
looking
I thought.
For a zebra.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. I thought
have some zebra meat.
Really poor taste if they serve. I was pleasantly surprised that they're not serving any zebra.
But there's two other stores that want to create something, but they said this, one lady wants to have a set of coasters from her store. She
which is low-hanging fruit. There's already got to be zebra
and
coasters out there. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but that's the type of thing you find 4 years later and you're like, yeah, they look pretty good, but that was, it's just the past.
Yeah,
I don't
what's
want
the
it.
New thing? Like, I want the new, fresh, viral thing. I don't want zebra stuff.
And then they're thinking about doing T-shirts. So the T-shirt place that's there said we could do a wanted picture with the zebra. But if something bad happens to the zebra, then the T-shirts are kind of
in poor taste.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. As you were saying this, I was thinking about other towns, you know, like what's the New Mexico town with the UFOs? Roswell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
Roswell is all about UFOs. If you've ever been mm-hmm. driven through Roswell, it's just like kitschy alien stuff everywhere.
I believe they have a UFO-shaped McDonald's there.
Yeah, there you go. So like,
or Memphis, it's all Elvis.
Memphis, mm-hmm. it's all Elvis. And now North, like I never would have thought in a million years, you know, I have some really, really good friends who live up in North Bend. We're up there all the time. And I never would have thought this would be the zebra capital of Washington, but I guess you got to capitalize when something weird plops down into your backyard. But I'm worried that if these businesses are leaning too heavily into zebra stuff, then eventually when it's captured, like if somebody's these ladies at this store, I won't say the name of their store. I don't know if they'd want us to say the name of their store. They probably would, but they're going to be selling these coasters. They're talking, and the lady in the article says she's really excited. She has this customized coasters she's going to be offering that has a zebra something on it, but she wouldn't tell the person doing the article of what it was going to be because she didn't want anyone to steal her design.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And but if they start putting too much resources into this zebra fad,
right? And another guy that had a restaurant said he got some zebra things for kids to play with in the sandbox, but he doesn't want to get a zebra carousel yet because we don't know how this is going to go.
That seems too soon. That seems too soon.
All of this is, I mean, in 5 days, the fact that people are organized enough and taking advantage of it,
What's interesting too is there was a this kid who works at a restaurant. His name is Daniel Timpson. I might be mispronouncing that, but he works at Tweed's Cafe. Now, did you ever see the show called Twin Peaks,
yes.
Sherry? So Twin Peaks was filmed, a big part of that show was filmed up in North Bend. And so North Bend has this like great history. And then the reboot recently was filmed in North Bend as well. And they kind of like transformed the town into a set because it's a very mm-hmm. idyllic looking, cool little town. And so it has already this thing that it's known for. And that's a big tourist part of North Bend. When you right. go up there, you go into that cafe, that Tweed's Cafe, which was, what was it called in the show?
I don't remember.
It was called like the pie place hmm. or something. People will text us. They'll let us know what it was called. So this kid who works at this thing that is already a tourist spot because it was part of a TV show now says that he was actually chased by the zebra. He and his friend were out on a hike. He says he was hiking up by Rattlesnake Lake, which is a really popular hike up there. He says, I looked at my friend and I looked back and I'm like, something doesn't feel right now. I'm quoting him. I'm reading him. He says, and I turned around and I saw the zebra running right at us. Wow. We started running, and while we were running, we were laughing. Obviously, it's a very surreal moment. You never think a zebra is sure. going to chase you on a trail. and he said, and we said to each other, oh, what do we do now? What do you do? Like, if it's a bear, you're supposed to play dead, like right? If it's a grizzly bear, you're supposed to yeah. play dead. If it's a black bear, you fight back.
Yep.
What do you do when a zebra chases you?
Well, we know that because we covered that the other day, right, Joe Mama?
Yeah, we had there was a whole. I think step one was don't take a selfie with it. Step two right. was read the room. Like, if it's barking at you and they can bark, then you need you need to move fast then have a stick ready because
right
if it
and
bites
baring
you,
its teeth. Yeah,
yeah.
And then you're supposed to hit it
with a stick
if it's biting you.
Well,
no,
yeah.
no, I think if you see one baring its teeth. Then you know it's time, and they have these jaws of death.
Oh my God, they're frightening, like horsey-like teeth. Yeah,
yeah. And but the most important advice is what even authorities are telling us, which is
call 911.
Don't ride it.
Yeah, don't ride it. That's right.
Don't ride it.
Yeah.
Don't
so if you're running away from it, don't hop on it and start riding it into the sunset. Okay. Don't do it.
All right, coming up, we've got Dave and Buster's. They're going to allow something no one ever thought would happen. And also, those frat boys that were kind enough to hold up the American flag as someone tried to put the Palestinian flag up, they had a GoFundMe page. You're not going to believe how much money those guys have raised. We'll get to all of that. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. We'd go to our Muckleshoot Resort text line, 1-888-973-5476.
Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Elicker show. Sherry is disappeared for a second. She's going to return any second here. But until she gets back, what we can talk about, because we teased it. Joe, have you ever been to Dave and Buster's?
I have, yes.
What's Dave and Buster's? Basically just like an adult arcade. Is that right?
Basically, yeah, with like fun fair games and stuff mixed in.
But they've got like, is that a place where you can buy booze? Can you drink at Dave and Buster's?
I think it's like a bar first.
And they have restaurant and food and all that kind of fun stuff.
And a bunch of games. But yeah, four geared towards adults.
At least that's what I think. I've actually never been to a Dave and Buster's, but I understand the concept. It's a pretty simple concept to grasp. I imagine they probably had, you know, during the pandemic, I imagine that was probably a pretty tough business to keep going because everybody had to be there in order to enjoy it. So what does Dave and Buster's offer if not the atmosphere for people to come and enjoy?
Right.
They have decided to introduce something new, and I don't know if this would appeal to you, but I think this actually sounds really fun. I don't know how this will play out yet, but Dave & Buster's will soon introduce a wagering component to its arcade games. So there are arcade games where somebody can play against an opposing player.
Right.
And instead of something like blackjack or something, maybe you're playing, I don't know if it's like Mario Kart or whatever. Oh, Sherry's back.
Hey, sorry. I had to put the clothes in the dryer. I got totally confused about the time.
This was a bathroom break, wasn't it?
No, I went to check on Stella, my dog, because she was out on the deck. And I thought we were, I'm sorry.
No worries. We're just talking about Dave and Buster's.
I go upstairs and I hear you guys talking. I'm like, wah! Yes, Dave and Buster's.
Did you get the clothes back in? Spin cycle?
Yeah,
Yeah, I know. I really wasn't doing that. I really was checking on Stella.
Okay.
She's okay.
All right.
She's hanging in there.
Good.
Yeah.
Dave and Buster's. Do you know Dave and Buster's? Have you ever been?
I think so. Maybe a really long time ago.
Yeah. It's just like an adult. It's an adult arcade. We've established. Yes. They serve booze, that kind of stuff.
But it's like a sports bar.
Like a sport. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. But that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a fun place for adults because adults are just grown kids. And so now they're offering wagering. You can actually now bet on the games, like actual money. You can put money. I guess I don't know exactly how this is going to work out. You're going to somehow be able to buy. What are you going to do? Buy tokens or something? You're going to be able to buy things that you can wager with people and then cash out at the end of the night, like instead of tickets. Like when you go to these arcades with kids, you win tickets, and then at the end of the night, you can get like a piece of bubble gum or.
Well, the owners or the people that are running this thing say it's mostly going to be $5 and $10 bets. I'm not sure how they're going to handle that part of it, but they do have a little bit of a caveat here. They said that these things would be used for skill-based games, including recreational activities for which the outcome is largely or entirely dependent on the knowledge, ability, strength, speed, endurance, intelligence of the participants.
And these are video games.
Subject to the control of the of those. Well, no, I mean, they have like skee ball.
Like the fair type games, I think, is what.
Or like
what
the basketball
saying.
Shot, yes, exactly, thing, something like that.
Exactly.
This sounds really fun to me.
I agree.
I love gambling. It's a, you know, it's a fun it's a fun thing to do.
Fun little vice.
It is a fun vice if you're gonna have one.
Yeah.
But I think this could be a really. Would they just take a small cut of this? I mean, would they just? I assume they would just take a percentage, and this would be a massive moneymaker for them. I mean, like, if introducing gambling to these silly, stupid kids games sounds like a great idea to me.
It could work. I wouldn't want, like, this is for people 18 and older. I wouldn't want a lot of young kids to be able
no,
to
no,
do
no.
this.
And Dave and Buster's is it's an adult arcade.
Right.
Like, you have to be a certain age to get in, and because they serve booze and stuff like that.
I think you can bring in kids to eat or something if you're with a parent, but you can't be an unaccompanied minor.
Oh, okay.
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. Right. I think it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm surprised they haven't done this yet already.
I know, but sports betting and all that stuff is you know, it's so accessible now that it's kind of just goes along with that.
Well, good for them. I'm sure they're going to make a ton of money.
I think they are. hey, coming up, we will talk about the fact that these frat boys have gotten even more money for their GoFundMe page after they held up an American flag at their university. And there's an airport out there that has not lost a single piece of luggage for decades. We'll tell you where it is and how many people visit that airport, and it might just shock you.